Amen. Excuse me. Greetings in the name of Jesus. Pretty proud of my wife for sharing that. That to me is exciting to see God developing her and myself, and He wants to do it for all of us. So I don't know if you're excited about that or not, but it's something to be excited about as far as I'm concerned. And so praise God is right. So how many of you would like to be in a church where everything that is done is enlightening, it's encouraging, and it's comforting? Raise your hand. Did you know that God made provision for that? What do you think it is? What gifting did God specifically give to the church for that purpose? If you looked in your programs, it's kind of a giveaway, but prophesying. How many of you are prophets? Raise your hand. You should all be raising your hand because you're all called to prophesy. Now, probably the reason that we are a little hesitant is because we have this idea about prophecy that is something like, you know, something kind of abstract and something kind of scary and something that the charismatics and the Pentecostals do. And, you know, we want to keep things in control, and prophecy feels like it's out of control and all of those things. Well, God help us. That's a design by the enemy to confuse us to what God really wants to do through this gift. So, I'm not sure where all I will go today, but I trust I will go where the Spirit of God wants to go. And I was amazed. I was almost taken back. Last night, I was I'm not sure if I told God this, I thought, I'm wondering how God is going to put this service together today. Because I knew what I was going to be sharing, and I was like, Paul got up and started talking about the connection between, you know, soul and spirit and the flesh, and then Bruce started talking about how do the people in Bedford know that you're Christians? And he talked about the connection there between Christianity and our flesh and so on. Maybe it wasn't so clear to me, but it was abundantly clear to me that this is all meant to complement each other today. So may God have His way in that. One part of I want to do one part with PowerPoint. When I get there, I want to take you through some things. And basically, just because I want to give you some visuals, sometimes visuals stick better in our minds when we see them. But some of the Bible passages I want to use today, and just a personal testimony. If you remember, I think I mentioned this here, not sure when it was, but here some time ago, I was parked on a verse morning after morning in my devotional time, where Paul was talking in 1 Corinthians 14 about the gift of tongues or speaking in tongues and prophesying. And he said, tongues is great, but prophesying is better, in my words. And so I was just asking God, what is this? What does this mean? What is it? What is this prophecy that Paul is talking about here? And how, you know, you want to use it in your church. What is it? And I was feeling like I've really never seen it exercised in the way that Paul was portraying it here as something that is very beneficial and uplifting to the church. So I don't know how long I was parked there, and finally I'm like, well, I guess it's time to move on. And so I started into the book of Job, started reading Job and some more in Corinthians. I'm doing the 1 year Bible, but I'm not doing it all in 1 year. In fact, just a word of encouragement. If you think there's virtue in just reading a lot of scripture because you want to get through the Bible in 1 year, I don't want to knock it too much, but there's really not a whole lot of benefit in that. You're much better off taking a verse and sitting on it and digesting it. So like you wouldn't sit down at the table, would you, where you have all this food and you just gorge yourself because you want to eat all this food in a year's time? You wouldn't do that. Wouldn't have good results, would you? I think maybe the Word of God is a little that way. There's no need to rush through the Word of God. One little verse is enough to last us for a long time. So anyways, I did finally move on, and then this past week, it was basically a light bulb moment for me, or not this past, but the week before. We were at Myrtle Beach, and I don't know that Steve was necessarily even really talking about this, but I can't remember what he was talking about, but he went to this verse in Revelation that speaks like this. And I fell at his feet to worship him, and he said unto me, "See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren, and that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God for the testimony of Jesus." Notice what he says next is the spirit of prophecy. And it just clicked with me. And I started thinking about this whole thing. I think what Steve was talking about maybe was who we are in Christ and who we are on the earth. And I've started thinking, well, if I'm in Christ, if I really am in Christ, the spirit of prophecy is just simply the testimony of Jesus coming forth in many different ways. So I don't know if that clicks with you or not, but thank you, Lord. It just gave me a revelation and understanding of what this really is meant to be. And so I want to share that with you. I want to try to tie this all together. The spirit of prophecy, who we are in Christ, and how it affects us here on this planet, and what it should look like, and so on. So God help me. I need his help. And he will help me, and I'm grateful for that. In 1 Corinthians 14:3, it says, "But he that prophesieth speaketh unto men to edification, exhortation, and comfort." That's why I ask you, would you want to be in a church where all of these are active in the body? Sounds pretty good to me. And then in Ephesians 1, verses 1 through 7, who we are in Christ. I just want to go over this passage a little bit. And I want you to notice as I read, listen for who you are, who we are in Christ. "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Here comes one. "Who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings." Who am I in Christ? Who are you in Christ? We are blessed. Say with me, "I am blessed." Come on, you can do better than that. I am blessed. Yay. Why wouldn't we rejoice? Because we're blessed. When we're blessed in our who knows what, mom is baking cookies and we come to the house and we're blessed, we say, "Yay, fresh cookies." Why wouldn't we do that when God blesses us? So let's continue. "Blessed be the God who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." I want to come back to this heavenly places in Christ. And I want you to, while we're going through this, to be thinking, who am I really in Christ? Who am I in Christ? Who are you in Christ? Who are you in Christ? Sometimes we use the term, "This is really who I am." Or maybe we're watching somebody and we say, "Well, that's really who he is." Who are you really? We all know we're here this morning with our nice clothes and, you know, trying to smile and be nice and everything else. But who are you really? Inside of you, what's going on inside of you? Who am I? Who are we? So be thinking about that in the background. "According as he hath chosen us." I am chosen. Come on. Be excited. Well, if you're not excited, don't put it on. Don't fake it. But if there's anybody here that's excited, I am chosen. Yes, I heard that. Amen. Out of the mouth of babes, I am chosen. Keep saying that. That is great. "He hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world that we should be holy." We are holy and without blame before him in love, "having predestinated us unto the adoption of children." I am predestinated unto adoption. Praise God. God predestinated us to adoption. by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Don't you see why Mary said that God is a loving God? Adoption, pleasure. God is just oozing love out of his character, out of himself, out of who he is. According to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted. We are accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption. We are redeemed through his blood. The forgiveness of sins. We are forgiven according to the riches of his grace. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Amen. Praise the Lord. One of the things, and if you get sick and tired of it, you'll have to throw me out because I'm going to keep working on you. I want you to loosen up and become excited for the gospel. That is one of the things that makes us different. Sure, we might wear different clothes. We might do different things. But we are passionate about Jesus Christ. And I want my fellow believers to be passionate about Jesus Christ. Look, if we're going to change the world, it's not going to be done by somber faces and drudgery. It's going to be done by excitement and passion that is flowing not from us, from our carnal being, but from the power of the Holy Spirit impacting our humanity. Remember what happened in Ephesus. Great is Diana of the Ephesians. For 2 hours these people were yelling and screaming. They were passionate about Diana. What had happened? A couple people that knew how to turn the world upside down had showed up in Ephesus. And they turned the place upside down. So much so that the business of selling these silver gods went away. And these guys got really upset. And they stirred the people up. And you know, it was a riot. But it was done by what? Two people. In the big city of Ephesus. Are we impacting our local towns? Are we impacting cities for the kingdom? We should be. We should be. God is calling us to this great and noble work. So, my outline for today, what is prophecy? Who am I in Christ? And what is the spirit of prophecy? Is the gift of prophecy for us at Christian Light Fellowship? Somebody tell me. Yes. Thank you. God has specifically given to his church, the body of Jesus Christ, these giftings. Let's repent if we have been reserved about them. I'm not encouraging you to go down a wrong path. I would never do that. I want you to follow the reality of the Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes into you, into your spirit, your voice box is activated. I've told you this before. I don't know if you remember or not, but that is holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. This was Old Testament. How much greater things should there be in the New Testament? When the Holy Spirit impacts humanity, sounds come forth that glorify God, that bless the church, that shake the world. So, who is the gift of prophecy for? It's for you, it's for me. Any and every child of God, as he speaks under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, is a prophet. Can you get used to the idea? Who are you? Say to somebody, I'm a prophet. I'm a prophet. Say it. I'm a prophet. God bless you. Okay. So what is prophecy? And we went across this verse here in 1 Corinthians 3. But he that prophesies, what does it say? Anybody have your scriptures? He that prophesies, what's the next word? Speaketh. How do you talk? It just comes naturally, doesn't it? He that prophesies is simply speaking. Who's in charge of your voice box? Who's in charge of your vocal cords? Is it the Holy Spirit or some other spirit? There's a spirit that is in charge of your speaking. Who is it? If it's the Holy Spirit, you're prophesying for the kingdom as you speak. Do you understand? Do you understand the seriousness of this whole subject? So I think it was it you, Johnny, that mentioned, and I think I had brought it up at a brother's meeting or sometime about, and you might hear Steve Stutzman's name here a few times today because all of that stuff is still fresh in my mind. But he was talking about a place where they were ministering, I don't know, ministering in song or spiritual ministry, and the pastor got up to close the service, and he said something to the effect that I almost, you know, said hallelujah or praise the Lord. And Steve was just like, what are you doing? When that rises up inside of you, it's the Holy Spirit. It could be something else, but more than likely, it's the Holy Spirit that is inspiring you to speak forth. It wants to come out. The Holy Spirit wants to come out through your voice. And you're there shutting him down. It's a very serious thing. Quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. Let him come forth. Let the Holy Spirit come forth through your voice. So if you're inspired to say praise the Lord, let it come out. I think it's been one of the greatest sins of our culture in shutting down the power of the Holy Spirit. And if we can't even speak for him when he inspires us to speak and we just shut him down, how is he going to move in any other way in our lives? He won't. God is in charge of our whole being, from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. And we need to let him be in charge and speak forth words of life, words of blessing, words of power and authority. He speaketh unto men to edification and exhortation and comfort. Do you like the sound of the word comfort? It's part of the prophetic. When you speak under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, words of comfort. I'm going to give you opportunity to do that, hopefully, before I close. So prepare yourself. God, what do you want to say to my brother or sister? Give me a word of prophecy for them. I'll give you opportunity. I'm not going to force you to do it, but I would really encourage you to take it serious. God, how do you want to use me to impact my fellow believers? Because Paul was talking about in the church. Prophecy is supposed to be exercised in the body for the purpose of edification, exhortation, and comfort. I already said this verse. We're talking about what is prophecy. For prophecy came not, this is 2 Peter 1 verse 21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. Notice that. It didn't come by the will of man. But holy men of God spake as they were moved. They were moved by the Holy Ghost. May God move us. Prophecy is simply the life of God inside of you, finding its exit through your vocal cords. That is one way. Maybe I shouldn't have said it quite that way. But as the Holy Spirit is alive in you, you will speak. Remember Peter? I don't know you. No, I don't know Jesus. You're also with him. I don't know him. He cursed and swore. And the Holy Spirit came down on him. And then what happened? He was released by the power of the Holy Spirit to speak words, prophetic words that impacted the culture of that day. If you are being filled with the Holy Spirit, your whole being will vibrate with life. Quickened by the power of the Holy Spirit. Your mortal flesh will be quickened by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to say this. If you're feeling uncomfortable, I'm going to be pretty blunt here. If you're feeling uncomfortable about right now, there's very likely there's a dark spirit working inside of you. Because when I speak these words and you get uncomfortable, that causes conflict. And there could be other reasons for it, but I just want you to be aware of what's going on in your spirit. Because when the Holy Spirit is lifted up, there's someone that's very unhappy. And if you're under the influence of a dark spirit, there's going to be that conflict. It's going to rise up and say, oh, he don't know what he's talking about. That's not true. He's just, look, I'm coming to you in the name of Jesus. I'm coming to you with a sincere heart. And God wants to use me to speak to you. If that's too boastful, I'm sorry, but that is how it is. I'm intent on tearing down the strongholds of the enemy so that we can walk in freedom and liberty. Don't you want that? Of course, we all want it. But we need to be aware that there is an active force working against what I'm trying to tell you. And I also want you to know that God's cause will come out on top. Always has, always will. I rejoice in that. So may God have His way with us. When you meet a person, what is the gift of prophecy? When you meet a person, take a few moments. God, what do you want to say to this person? Do that. And God will speak to you many times. He will tell you. He will allow you. My wife had an experience. We did this in Myrtle Beach. And this was a little uncomfortable, but for 48 hours, we weren't supposed to talk. 48 hours. Now, we had time to worship and sing and our, you know, spiritual teaching, but after that was dismissed, no talking. And, you know, we were couples, and so we go to bed, don't talk, no talking. We sat down to eat dinner, eat at the table with all these 30 people, no talking. We just sat there, ate food, and looked at each other, and got a little out of hand sometimes, you know, emotions and who knows what, but the point was to hear what God is saying. And you know as well as I do, most of us never take the time. We meet somebody and we immediately start talking. We talk. We're covering fear. We're covering all kinds of stuff through our talk. And we never connect. Well, we actually do. I shouldn't say it that way. There's always a spiritual connection under the surface. Always. We are spiritual people. Every one of you has a spirit. When two people get together that have a spirit, there's a spiritual connection that happens. We're just that way. We don't even think about it. But what I think God wants to teach us is to learn to connect on the spiritual level. Because He wants to minister to us through that connection. And if you're talk, you can never hear that prompting of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we just need to be quiet. Take a few moments. What does God want to say to this person? When you're walking through the grocery store and you see all these people, you walk past all these people, what does God want to say something to someone here today? And God bless you if you do that and you go up and you say, God gave me a word for you. You might feel very stupid and foolish, but it's always on target if the Holy Spirit gives you a word. Sometimes it takes a little time for it to settle in to really know that it's the Holy Spirit, but if He gives you a word for someone, it is always on target. You do not need to fear. Always. And my wife walked with a young lady on the beach. And so, yeah, one of the things we were supposed to do was take a walk with your partner. Then they coupled us up with other partners, prayer partners, and you were supposed to take a walk on the beach. You weren't supposed to talk. And very interesting. But she experienced an actual physical pain that this lady was carrying, her partner. It was like a physical manifestation. That can also happen, but most of the time those things don't happen. There's a spiritual connection. God says, this is what's going on in this person's life, and I want you to speak into it. And we say, no, and we walk away. That person misses the blessing. You've quenched the Holy Spirit, and shut down the Spirit of God in your life. And we don't want to do that. We want to speak words, prophetic words, as God gives them to us. Who am I in Jesus Christ? Let me see if I want to go to my PowerPoint, I think, at this time. You just give me a moment. Yes, I had a little trouble with it earlier. So I want you to tell me, as you think about who you are in Christ, as you reflect on your biblical knowledge and understanding, who are you in Christ? Tell me. Yes. Complete. Amen. Is that all? That actually covers quite a bit. Yes. Beloved. Redeemed. Chosen. Fully accepted. Do you really believe that? You don't have to answer. Sometimes we say these things, but inside we don't feel it. But what a blessing when our words harmonize with what's inside of us. Any more? We had about three, I think. Gabe. Joint heirs with Christ. Adopted. Was there another one? Just those two? Justified. There is many, many more. Who am I in Christ? And when that actually becomes reality in your life, it would change you. Just like my wife was telling you this morning. When the reality of who I am in relation to my Heavenly Father comes down into our hearts. She could have told you all of these things in her head. You know, she's probably heard them many times. But when it settles down into our hearts, there is where the life change starts happening. And that's, I don't know how the soul-spirit connection all works, but it doesn't happen through your flesh. It happens on the platform of spiritual soul revelations. It has to go down in there. And maybe this could be discouraging. You think, well, I'm not experiencing it in my heart. What's wrong with me? But keep seeking. Keep seeking God. God will continue to develop your Christianity, your spirituality, to where those things will become reality. He's in charge of the work, right? Well, you can't make it happen. You need Him. And the best thing you can do is just simply, God, I believe what you're saying about me. I choose to trust you. Please make it a reality in my life and rest there. And God will do the process. We want instant change. We want instant fix. But many times it's a life. And I don't think we need to feel bad. You know, Jeremy was talking, my wife was talking about, why has it taken this long? But that's generally how it works. It takes time for us to develop. As children grow, you know, they become more, their understanding increases, their ability increases. It's the same way in our spiritual life. As we grow, we become more like Christ. Our understanding expands and deepens and so on. I don't have a lot of things. Okay. Here is a couple verses, Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of Him, notice what, I am just blown away by this. Notice what He says. The Spirit of Him, which was the Spirit of God, that dwelt in Jesus, that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwell in, say it with me, dwell in me. Dwell in me. Not you, dwell in me. Say it with me. Dwell in me. He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also make alive my liable to die body by His Spirit. Do we really believe that? If the Spirit of God that dwelt in Jesus caused a resurrection from the dead, and you have that Holy Spirit, how can we just be bumps on a log? How can we? There's life in the Spirit. There's power in the Spirit. How can we just be... Are you feeling scolded yet? It's not my heart to scold, but I just come to you with a passion. I believe that it comes straight from the heart of God. a desire to see his children activated by the power of the Spirit. Look what God, the great pains that he went to. He sent Jesus into this world to die on the cross so that we can be set free, so we can be forgiven and blessed and adopted and all of these things. And we are so nonchalant. May God help us. That's how Bedford will know, hey, there's something going on at Christian Light. Those people are excited about something. They might not understand what it is, but they're excited. And they have the answers. They're always happy, full of joy. Does that describe your life? Full of joy in the Holy Ghost? Quicken. Make alive. You're mortal. Liable to die. This is talking about this body. My body is affected by the power of the Spirit. When God comes in, the same Spirit that God put into Jesus, he puts in us, and there's life. Make alive. What comes to your mind when you think about making something alive? You would somebody, any volunteers to demonstrate? What's it like to be made alive? I won't put you on the spot, but we know in our minds what it is, don't we? We know what it is to be, when somebody is alive, somebody's excited and passionate about whatever, whether it's Jesus or anything else. They come alive when that subject comes up. Do you come alive when the subject of Jesus Christ comes up? Does it change your life? Is your life being changed because of your passion for Jesus? And by the way, if you don't know him, he is waiting to get to know you. He wants to know you. He wants to make you alive. If there's deadness in your life, if you've never been born again, you're in trouble, you've lost your way, Jesus. And has raised us. Let's say it together. And has raised me. And has raised me up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Are you seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? How many of you are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus? This is a trap. No, it's not. Because if you're not, you're not saved. You're not saved. Now how many of you are seated in heavenly places in Christ? I'm looking. If you are saved, if you're born again, you are seated with Christ in heavenly places, says the Word of God. And God cannot lie. Let's believe it and live on it. So, how many of you have seen Steve Stutzman's little men that jump around? I couldn't remember. Did he do that here? Okay. I always get a kick out of it, so I kind of have a version of that here. But I love the illustration. So up here in the heavenlies, we are seated with Christ. We just said that, right? When we're saved, this is who we really are. This isn't who I am. This should help you when you look in the mirror Sunday mornings to say, that's not really who I am. I'm just, you know, that's just my carcass. Ah, yeah, I should probably take care of it, but don't have to spend all that much time on it. Just a carcass, temporary. In 100 years from now, it'll be gone. In 100 years from now, you will still be in Christ as a believer. Does that make sense? So this is really who we are, right? So if we're in Christ, when the Spirit moves, let's see if this works, this man moves also. This man that's down here on planet Earth, when the Holy Spirit moves us in heavenly places, he also moves in perfect sync with who we are in Christ. Does that describe your life? Is your life on the planet in perfect sync with who you are in Christ? There's no block there. There's perfect connection. And if it isn't, and we'll talk about this here in a little bit, but this verse, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Remember, Paul spoke a lot on this subject. If you're getting tired of me speaking on it, you should listen to Paul. I mean, he brought this in over and over and over. Romans, Galatians, and I think in Corinthians, he understood who he was in Christ and how that it's not Paul that lives, but it's Christ that lives in him. It's not James Pate that lives, but it's Christ in me that lives. That is really who I am. My spirit in Christ, seated in heavenly places, is who I am. God intended for these two to harmonize. The guy up here in the heavens and the guy down here on the planet. He wants them to move in sync. When the Spirit of God moves in your spirit, and He will, if you have the Holy Spirit, He will move in you. It needs to translate into humanity. And that's how we're changed from glory to glory. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. May I ask you a question? Who is in charge of your life? If you evaluate your life, you stand back and you look at your life as you are living your life day by day, making decisions and choices, who's in charge? Who is in charge of your life? Is it you? Or is it the Holy Spirit? If we don't get this one right, we will go down into destruction. This is not just fancy philosophy or theology. This is reality. This, you must understand it. And that's why Jesus said the way is straight and narrow. It's either one or the other. You are either in charge or the Holy Spirit is in charge of your life. He's very patient and gracious. If you're, you know, if you're stumbling and bumbling through life, He's very gracious and patient with you, and He's continually drawing you to Himself. But it's one or the other. No man can serve two masters. He will either hate the one and love the other, or love the other, hate the one. I live by the faith of the Son of God. The same faith that motivated and guided Jesus as He walked around on this planet will motivate and guide you, will guide me. The same faith who loved me and gave Himself for me. Who am I in Christ? See this guy? He's chained down to the earth. And this hit me at our last week when I thought of this. The Holy Spirit wants to move. He wants to move, and we don't move. We don't move because we're chained down. We're chained. How many of you you don't have to answer this question. God bless your honesty if you do, but if you think about this, how many of you are chained down and do not move? This is part of why it's so quiet in our worship time. We are chained down by fear. It was interesting to me, the subject of fear came up this morning, because I want to talk a little bit about it too. It's one of the things that chains us down and will not allow us to move when the Spirit of God wants to move. Amen? God help us to cut those chains. Jesus came to cut every one of those chains so that this guy can move with who we are in the heavens. Does that make sense to you? I think this truth is so powerful and so necessary for us to understand and incorporate into our lives. Chains of bondage. I don't know if you can see that chain there, but underneath it says chains of bondage. We are chained down. We are in bondage to who knows what. I have a list I want to go through. So fear is one of them. And if you're being held down by fear, plan a meeting with God. He will take that fear out and put the Holy Spirit into you. He will take the fear out and put His love into you. And I'm a good one to speak because I fight this thing of fear very much. And I think I'm gaining ground, so I'm encouraged. I've been saying recently, my inheritance is freedom from fear. God is calling me to a life of fearlessness. So, follow me as I follow Christ in this whole issue of fear. Sometimes we have to step outside of our comfort zone, right? It's fearful. Fearful to step outside of our comfort zone. And I'm not just saying it just for the sake of, maybe you should do it just for the sake so you get used to stepping outside of your box. But I'm saying it especially, specifically, when it comes to following the leading of the Holy Spirit, step outside of your fear. Step outside of your comfort zone. Just be who you are in Christ. Don't be fake. Don't be a hypocrite. Lord, help us. Unbelief. Sometimes we simply won't believe. God says it. You know, bumper stickers, God said it, I believe it. The real person is, God said it, I don't believe it. Because the reason I can say that is because it doesn't change us. If God said it, I believe it, change. God said it, I believe it, no change, you don't believe it. It's the way it is. You don't believe it. So quit saying I believe it if you don't. Look at your life. What's coming out of your life? Do you believe God? Or are you an unbeliever? I believe God. Life shows unbelief. God help us. Sinful bondages, pornography, lust, just pride. I mean, who knows what? All kinds of sinful bondages that hold us down and won't release us to be move in the Spirit. Laziness. Any lazy people here? We all have a streak of laziness. I do. You know? The Spirit moves. I'm too lazy. Too lazy. Too lazy to get out of bed if God wants you to get on your knees and pray and intercede for somebody. Too lazy. That's a shame. Lazy Christians. Terrible thing. Unforgiveness. How many times is there unforgiveness in our life? God is saying, I want you to forgive. And you're like, I want to hold on to this pain and this hurt. And you can't let go. Don't expect that you'll have freedom in Christ if you hang on to unforgiveness. What is forgiveness? Remember the little thing I did here a while ago? The guy in the cage. Open the door and let him go free. You don't want to drag him with you wherever you go. Let him go. Give him to God. God can take care of him much better than you can. Confusion. I hear people say, I'm so confused. I'm so confused. Part of the reason we're confused is because we refuse to walk when the Spirit moves. We refuse to move. And we wonder why we're confused. Because we won't obey. There's no confusion in Christ. No confusion in Christ. If you're confused, it's coming from another source. But it's very real. And God wants to bring you out. Judgmental, critical, self-righteous. All of these are horrible things that stop the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Dead religion. We are in danger of dead religion. Every person on the planet that is a follower of Jesus Christ falls in danger of their religion becoming a dead thing. Especially if it's generation after generation. God wants us to be alive in our religion. Pure religion. Religion that is vibrant. Religion that works. Subject in itself. People pleaser. And I already know this without asking. We all are people pleasers. We like to please people. Some of us more than others. But cut it off. If you're a people pleaser and that's what's motivating you, you're going to be bound down to the earth. You won't be able to move. It's a chain that holds you down because you're always thinking, what will he think? What will she think? What will he think? And you're not even asking, what does God think? What about him? Wouldn't it be better to please God than people? And hypocritical. How many hypocrites here this morning? You know inside, you know that you're not what you're making yourself look like. You're putting up a front. You're saying words. You're giving off impressions. Can't be a hypocrite before God. He already sees it. And I'll scare you a little bit with this one. If you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you're also going to see it as a person. That's part of the gift of prophecy. When you walk up to a person, you're full of the Holy Spirit, and that person is a hypocrite, he don't have to say anything. You pretty much already know what's going on. Don't ask me how it works, but it works. And this happened in Myrtle Beach also. And there's some very spiritually discerning people there. And if you're not spiritually free, and I actually was like, I don't know if I like this. They probably know stuff about me that maybe I just don't really want them to know. But God already knows it anyways. Why would you be a hypocrite? It kills the life of the Holy Spirit in us. I am crucified with Christ. The cross is the door is the instrument that cuts all of those bondages. When you experience the cross of Jesus Christ, it is dead to me, alive to thee. Except a man take up his cross and follow me. He cannot be my disciple. That's exactly what Jesus was saying. He understood fully. If you're going to walk in the Spirit, if you're going to live in the Spirit, you must experience the cross. The cross will cut all of those bondages. And there's many more that we could talk about, and I need to get with it here. My spirit seated in heavenly places. I am blessed. I am chosen. I am holy and blameless. I am predestinated to adoption. I am accepted in His beloved. I am redeemed through His blood. I am forgiven. I am full of joy. I have the fruit of the Holy Spirit. When the cross is at work in our lives, that becomes reality. And all of this stuff falls off. Falls off of us. The cross, that's why Paul said, I glory in the cross. There's power in the cross. When the cross is at work in our lives, it's killing the old man so that new life may spring forth. And all of these blessings, and the list is way longer than that. There is a lot of things you could add to who we are in Christ. But I really like the one that Calvin gave. I am complete in Christ. That encompasses all of them. Completion in Christ is such a blessing. My spirit is seated in heavenly places. When the Spirit moves, I move. When He doesn't move, I don't move. I think that one is very important too. Sometimes we think something has to give. Something has to happen. And so we go and we make a decision, a major life-changing decision, and we are tired of waiting on God. And God is just saying, hey, just wait a little bit. I got good things for you. Wait a little bit. Wait a little bit. And we finally say, no, I can't wait any longer. Something has to be done. And we go do our thing, and we completely destroy the plan of God in our lives, or even in the lives of other people. Sometimes we do that. So may God help us that this connection between us, our mortal, liable to die, human body, that carries the life of the Holy Spirit within us and who we are in Christ. May that connection be vibrant. May we be connected to the Holy Spirit and to the life that He puts within us. I think that's it for that. I want to talk just a little bit about the spirit of prophecy and the testimony of Jesus. Testimonies rise up through the spirit of prophecy. Did you get that? Don't we all want to be a testimony for Jesus, for the kingdom of heaven here on this earth? There's many faceted ways that it can take place. But words coming out of our mouth, inspired by the Holy Spirit, we say, I want to give a testimony. That's actually, we should start saying, I want to give a prophecy. And people are probably, look, whoa, what's he going to say? No, just giving glory to Jesus, speaking for him. Our voice speaking as it is inspired by the Holy Spirit. When we speak through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we are bearing testimony to Jesus Christ. And what happens when Jesus is lifted up? I will draw all men to myself. So you walk into this church and the spirit of prophecy is working, and there's, and in case you think I'm going rogue, just read 1 Corinthians 14. As Paul has said, this is what happens. The whole church is talking, and this fellow walks in the door, and the whole church is alive in the spirit, and they look at him and they're like, they understand what's going on in his life, and so they come up, put their arm around him. I just want to pray for the things you're going through in your life. I know you lost your mom and your child, whatever. And he just breaks down and he falls on the floor. Truly, God is in this place. That's what it's supposed to look like. When have we seen, have we ever seen that? Spirit of prophecy. It's a direct manifestation from God himself. Flowing through us, exposing the mysteries. How does it say? No, the secrets of his heart are manifested. He walks in here with a bunch of secrets in his heart. Christians gather around, they're all manifested. They're secrets, right? Nobody knows them. Spirit-filled Christians around, the guy with secrets falls on his face before God. Truly, God is in this place. And I would dare say he gets born again on the spot. Because he comes into the presence of God. Do you understand the privilege that God is calling us to? Mortal flesh that is inspired and moved by the Holy Spirit, impacting other humanity, will change them. Is that exciting? I heard one amen. Come on. Let's throw off the things of the world. Let's get rid of all the other passions that are fighting against this one. Reignite the first love. And if you've never had it, may God grant it to you. But if all prophesy, just what I told you, and there come in one that believes not, or unlearned, he is convinced of all. He is judged of all. And thus are the secrets of his heart manifested. And so falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is in you of the truth. I think that's pretty awesome. We might think we can hide something, but not from the all-seeing eye of God, and not from the prophets, human prophets, that God has put his life inside of them. They will know things about you. Maybe you're not going to ever come back here, but I'm giving this to you as a point of redemption. It's not just so that your secrets are exposed, but it's so that you can fall on your face before God and get right with God. Get free from the bondage that you don't like, and the sin and all of the debauchery and all of the junk in your life that you're continually fighting. God wants to set you free. When you're free in Christ, you are free indeed. Glory, hallelujah. There's no freedom like being free in Christ. And you don't have any secrets, right? You can ask me about anything you want to. I don't think I have any secrets, do I, God? Any secrets in me? I don't think so. You can ask me anything. And I don't think I would be afraid to tell you. I'm not hiding things. But some of you might be. I don't know. I would, in a group this size, there's probably some hiding going on. But just know that when you come into And this is, when you come into the lives of Spirit-filled Christians, one of the things that draws people like that into the church is because they love them so much. You guys love the church, I mean the people of Bedford so much that they're just drawn into Christian light. They're just drawn into because there's so much love. And then when they come in here, they feel so loved, but they also feel the light and the truth. And in that environment, they feel safe, they feel loved, they feel cared for. They are able to bring out the things that are troubling them, and we can lead them to freedom in Christ Jesus. We can lead them to a new birth. We can lead them to a new life in Christ. How it's supposed to look. Or am I crazy? Am I just off the wall? What do you think? Look pretty blank out there. What do you think? That's what I see. That's what I see in 1 Corinthians 14. And may God bring it to life in this congregation. Okay, how does God develop this expression of the prophetic? Maybe you're like, I want that prophetic. I want to prophesy. I want to speak for the Lord. Well, let me just assure you, it starts with the cross. And we want the prophetic, but do I really want the cross? Do I want to come to the cross and dead to me, alive to you? Crucify all the earthly within me, emptied of sin and self, may I be. Open the wells of grace, salvation. The only way. And I don't apologize for it. It's the only way. It's the way that is straight and narrow. And it's completely your choice. You can walk away and say, I don't want it. That's fine. If you want to do that, it won't end so well for you, but you can make that choice. You can do what you want. But this is the path to life. And not only life in this life, but eternal life throughout eternity. More dead to me and more alive to him. And the more dead you become, the more free the Holy Spirit can flow out of you. And there's different aspects of the prophetic. There's also foretelling of events. This is something that happened in the Old Testament prophets by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It's still happening today by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. But let's at least start with these. If you don't like foretelling events and you don't feel secure there, you can at least start with, I'm a prophet. I'm going to prophesy in these ways. Edification, comfort, and exhortation.